This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Tuesday smile, it's been an amazing day and it's going to be an amazing night here on the Jesse Kelly Show. I'm going to do something we don't actually do very often, and it's going to be a little bit of a Trump love fest here. This is, unlike most radio shows, not a just hug Donald Trump all day, every day radio show. I find that to be ridiculously boring and pom-pom waving and embarrassing. But he was wonderful today speaking in front of the UN and said some very important things. And we're going to talk about why that matters, why it's important tonight. Dome is doing a media tour because she's trying to sell a book, and I am enjoying every single second of that moron being back in the limelight. We're going to discuss, obviously, as it relates to what Trump said, mass migration, India, what's going on there. They've declared war on the Christian church. Fake studies because they lie about everything at all times. The green movement in trouble. We're going back to the moon and I don't care. And hopefully a lot of emails. All that and so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, before we get to any of the rest of the show, before we even get to Donald Trump himself, although I'm about to play a little bit of it, globalism, a globalist. What does that mean? What is it? Trump made a reference to it today in front of the UN.
The entire globalist concept of asking successful industrialized nations to inflict pain on themselves and radically disrupt their entire societies must be rejected completely and totally, and it must be immediate.
We're going to get to that. I do want to say this before we get to that, how I view America's role in the world. I am an American. I am proud to be an American. And no matter where you're listening from, I hope you're proud to be a citizen of your country. America is immensely powerful, immensely wealthy, and it was a country founded on the idea of freedom. Freedom and the moral good. No, we're not always morally good and we're not always free, not by any means, but that's the idea behind it. I view us as having a leadership role on the global stage. I am not saying we have to invade everywhere. I'm not Lindsey Graham. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we should always not only be an example to the rest of the world of freedom, when the rest of the world is failing at that, I look at it as our role to scold them, sometimes whip them back into line, protect the rights of your people. Now, that brings us to globalists and globalism. What's the idea behind this? Well, here's how it should work. This is how it should work. Your country, specifically your government, because that's what we're discussing here, your government, I'm going to talk about America because that's where I am, but this is going to apply to wherever you are. Your government should see itself as a protector of you and a servant of you above others. There is and should be a pecking order for your government. You know, in America, a lot of the Trump movement, you'll hear things say, people say America first, America first. It's a very common phrase you see out there. But why is that so popular? Why is that spread so fast? Because people instinctively know that's That's how it's supposed to work. You understand that you, as a citizen, you do have obligations to your country. Of course you do. You need to follow the laws and pay the taxes. And maybe if you feel called, perhaps serve in the military or serve in a different way. You understand that as a citizen, you have obligations. And you also understand, because you're not a servant, because you're not a subject, your government has obligations to you. The obligations go both ways. It's not a one-way street. They, whenever they're making decisions about anything, it could be anything, taxes or the border or wars or whatever it may be, you should be priority number one for your government. And it doesn't mean they never consider anyone else, but you are always first and foremost. And this applies to every country on the planet. The French government should prioritize the French people first and foremost. The American government, American people first and foremost. The Japanese government, Japanese people first and foremost. Now, I'm sure you're sitting there and saying, yeah, obviously, that's how it should work. But that is the problem, you see. The governments of the, quote, free countries, the Western world, we're talking about America, Canada, Europe, Australia. They oftentimes don't see themselves like that anymore. In fact, you could argue that the Trump government in the United States of America is the only government in the Western world that sees itself like that. That's probably not totally fair. You have countries like Poland and Hungary who are going that way, but we are sadly a rarity now. And remember, Trump's been there less than a year. Before Trump got sworn back in and came in, the Biden administration was on this agenda. What agenda? The globalist agenda. It's global communism, of course, but we'll set aside the communist part of it for a moment. The elites of these countries, as we talked about so many times, they do not see themselves as presidents or senators or prime ministers or members of parliament. That's not how they see themselves, as representatives of the people and servants of the people. They see themselves as rulers, as kings and queens. And they look at the freedoms they have, that their people have. Which, what are the freedoms of the people? If you're a member of the government, what are the freedoms of the people? Their limits on you. That's what it is. If I'm more free, that means my government can't do certain things. And the people who run these countries look at those freedoms with disdain, not with pride. They don't look at those freedoms as something they have an obligation to preserve and protect. They look at your freedoms and they hate it. You just think you can say whatever you want? But what if you criticize them? What if you criticize their policies? What if you disagree with them? And what if you find other people who agree with you? Well, if that happens, then they might not be able to rule you in the way they desire to rule you. So they try to crush your freedoms. They're one big cabal. Trump talked about that today.
Let us defend free speech and free expression. Let us protect religious liberty, including for the most persecuted religion on the planet today. It's called Christianity.
You understand how far gone so many of these countries are? Wrap your mind around this fact. If I told you, we have our crappiest country in the world competition next hour. It's Afghanistan and India. And if I told you in Afghanistan, if you got on Facebook and you criticized the government and they would come and grab you and throw you in prison, you would say, well, yeah, it's Afghanistan. What a shock. Oh, no. Wow. I'm amazed. In the United Kingdom, that happens every day. In England, that's all the time. And when I say throw you in jail, I don't mean you do a night in the clink like you had a DUI. I mean, your family might say goodbye to you for years because of a Facebook post. If you go on Facebook in the UK and you say, man, We've had way too many Muslim immigrants in this country, and it's been bad for this country, and we need to deport some of these people. Well, you better let your boss know at work you're going to be gone for 2 to 3 years because the police are coming to your home. They have dedicated police forces out there, and their only job is to peruse the internet. How about that for a college word, Chris? Peruse the internet to get you, to look for you. This is not just Afghanistan. This is in the free world. These globalists see themselves as rulers. They have nothing but the utmost disdain for their most patriotic citizens. And that's why every move they make is in an effort to smash you and replace you. Smash you, silence you, and replace you. Smash you, silence you, and replace you. That's what they want. We'll talk more about this next.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic, fantastic Tuesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Talking a bit about Trump today at the UN, United Nations. And as I said in the opening, I believe this stuff is important. I believe it matters. The show doesn't do a lot of Trump slobberfest stuff. It's just not who I am. But when the American president stands in front of the United Nations and speaks boldly about what they're doing to their countries, about what is happening in the world, about this mass migration that is destroying Western civilization, I admire it and I respect it a great deal. Because remember, these people stay up at night and they fret about you. All these prime ministers, all these presidents, all these senators, all these members of parliament in America and Europe, around the world, they do not sit around and stress about Russia or China, Islamic terrorism. These are not things that are chief on their mind because none of those things really threaten their power. These are selfish monsters who don't have an ounce of patriotism in them. They don't care about their countries. They care about themselves, their money, their power, their fancy hotels. They care about their status. That's all they care about. And the only threat, the real threat to their status is you, the patriotic citizen. What do you do about that? Replace you. Oh, they'll try to smash you and silence you, but replacing you is the easiest option. Look at, before we play Trump's comments, just digest for a moment the Democrats' response to ICE deporting people. Remember, as of right now, ICE has, for the most part, been grabbing the most despicable criminals they can possibly find and deporting them. I mean, we're talking child rapists and murder, the worst people on the planet. That's who ICE is grabbing, and they're deporting them. What has the Democrat response been? This is the Gestapo. We can't have this. Democrat members of Congress have been arrested for assaulting ICE people. And by the way, politically, this is not a popular position either because American citizens want these people deported. So Americans want them deported, and they're the worst people on the planet. Why do Democrats stand so strongly with them? Because without the mass importation of foreigners, there is no Democrat Party. It ceases to exist. They're demonic, they're evil, they're unpopular, and nobody likes them. But a foreigner can be bought very cheaply. You cannot. And the same rules apply in the UK, in France, in Germany, all across. The same thing applies. They have their communist parties too, their Democrat parties too, and they understand the patriotic citizen must be outnumbered, overwhelmed, and replaced. It is a plan and not a side issue, as I've explained to you many times before. The mass importation of foreigner is the central part of the globalist communist plan to take over and destroy Western civilization. It's their everything. That's why they can't let it go. And to have an American president stand up in front of these people and talk to them in this way I find it inspiring.
The best example is the number one political issue of our time, the crisis of uncontrolled migration. It's uncontrolled. Your countries are being ruined. The United Nations is funding an assault on Western countries and their borders. In 2024, the UN budgeted $372 million in cash assistance to support an estimated 624,000 migrants journeying into the United States. Think of that. The UN is supporting people that are illegally coming into the United States, and then we have to get them out.
The United Nations, hundreds of millions of dollars to bring as many barbarians into this country as they possibly can. He speaks like this in front of these people, and it matters.
And I'm telling you that if you don't get away from the green energy scam, your country is going to fail. And if you don't stop people that you've never seen before, that you have nothing in common with, your country is going to fail. I love Europe. I love the people of Europe. And I hate to see it being devastated by energy and immigration. This double-tailed monster destroys everything in its wake, and they cannot let that happen any longer. You're doing it because you want to be nice. You want to be politically correct, and you're destroying your heritage.
And that, if I may, is what he's dead wrong about. I understand why he feels like he has to say it, and maybe he does have to say it, and he has to try to let them down kind of easy. They're not doing it because they're trying to be nice. Democrats didn't open up the border because they're trying to be nice, because they have misplaced compassion, because they're kind of liberal. That's not why they brought in as many Muslim refugees into Europe as humanly possible. It's not because they're trying to be nice. That is how they sell it. Oh, don't you want to be nice? I thought you were nice. I'm being nice. Aren't you nice? Don't you care? Didn't the Bible say? That's what they use to use your values against you. It has nothing at all to do with naivete. Trust me on that. Misplaced compassion. Trust me on that. It's done on purpose. It's done on purpose and for a very, very evil purpose. They are trying to burn their countries down so they can rule over the ashes, as evil men have always done. We'll touch on the green stuff before we move on and touch on India, which that's going to be a stinky segment. Before we get to that, I want to get to this. I want to talk to you about what I did this morning. You know what I did this morning? I had my breakfast tacos. I had a cup of coffee. Ob's out of town, so I'm bacheloring it up. Breakfast tacos, cup of coffee. Wasn't there, so I might have thrown in some chips with breakfast. But I also had a male vitality stack like I do every day. When I first heard about natural herbal supplements, I rolled my eyes. This is years ago. Because I thought, oh, okay, what is this hippie garbage? Would I have to start wearing hemp t-shirts? No, it is life-changing. Life-changing, and you don't get all these terrible side effects. You want to feel better? You want a 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days? You want to have more energy, more focus, better mood? Ladies, gentlemen, get some natural herbal supplements from Chalk in your body. Give it 60 to 90 days. You will feel it. It's not one of these things. Am I feeling it? You will. C-H-O-Q, Chalk.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah. America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So let's just touch on the climate thing, then we'll move off of this. We'll get to the Indian stuff or what's happening in India, these visas and things like that in America in a minute. I almost forgot to play the tease for it. 1 hour from now, second round continues, and it is neck and neck. It might come down to the wire. India versus Afghanistan.
It's the 2025 crappiest country in the world competition. Tonight's matchup is between Afghanistan and India. Brought to you by Stinky Pete's Outhouses, flies included.
It wasn't just the mass migration of foreigners that Donald Trump cited today for how you can destroy a country. There was another aspect to it, too. You hear what he said?
And I'm telling you that if you don't get away from the green energy scam, your country is going to fail. And if you don't stop people that you've never seen before, that you have nothing in common with, your country is going to fail.
He also said this.
Now they could just call it climate change, because that way they can't miss. It's climate change. Because if it goes higher or lower, whatever the hell happens, there's climate change. It's the greatest con job ever perpetrated on the world, in my opinion. Climate change, no matter what happens, you're involved in that. No more global warming, no more global cooling. All of these predictions made by the United Nations and many others, often for bad reasons, were wrong. They were made by stupid people that have cost their country's fortunes and given those same countries no chance for success.
Why that too? We already discussed the mass importation of foreigners and why. Why the endless pursuit of the climate change agenda? And just stop for a moment. None of these people believe the weather on Earth is changing, that they can change the weather. I know your liberal Aunt Peggy believes that because she's stupid and brainwashed. I understand that, but none of these people believe it. That's why they live their lives the way they do, with fancy gas-guzzling cars and private jets and five-star hotels. None of them believe in that. So if you don't believe in that, why do you sell it? Because once you can get, you always have to follow things back to their root, remember. That's why we call communists anti-humans. You know, that's why they're okay with death, because they don't care about human life. Well, when it comes to the climate change stuff, at its core is the idea that human beings themselves, you, me, all of us, that we are essentially a plague. Chris, grab that old Bill Gates thing. We're essentially a plague. We're a burden. The things you do, it's not even just, you know, throwing your litter on the ground or something like that, dumping battery acid in the water supply. I'm not talking about things like that. Your very existence is poisonous to the planet. And that's bad enough. That's a low dose of poison. But if you do things to make your life better, then you're really poisonous. What if you get, oh my gosh, what if you have air conditioning? What if you drive a nice vehicle, something you enjoy cruising around in? Well, now you're really poisonous to the planet. But if they don't believe that, why sell that? Well, once they can sell the idea that you and your prosperity and your happiness are poison, then it allows them to smash it while being the good guy, you see? It's not that I want to completely destroy your life. I'm trying to save the planet. And you and your air conditioning, it's poisonous. So I'm going to have to reach my hand in and control your thermostat so you can't be cool in the summertime. It's not because I'm a tyrant. It's because I'm the good guy and you're the poison. Here was Bill Gates.
It's an average of about 5 tons for everyone on the planet. And somehow we have to make changes that will bring that down
to zero. Pause for a second, Chris. Pause for a second. He's about to lay out three things. Three things. I want you to listen to these three things. I may even, sorry, Chris, you're going to have to pause it. I may even stop him every time. Notice the three things he lays out. All three of them are how poisonous you are. And if you participate in any of these things, you're more poisonous. And notice the goal. He's going to lay it out for you. The goal is zero. He needs no more of it. Go ahead.
That will bring that down to zero. It's been constantly going up. It's only various economic changes that have even flattened it at all. So we have to go from rapidly rising to falling and falling all the way to zero. This equation has four factors, a little bit of multiplication. So you've got a thing on the left, CO2, that you want to get to zero. And that's going to be based on the number of people, the services each person's using on average, the energy on average for each service, and the CO2 being put out per unit
Stop.
Of energy.
The number of people, the number of services, the number of energy, the amount of energy. Let's start at the back end. What is energy? It is prosperity. Do you know why in the United States of America, a huge reason why we are so prosperous and we've grown by leaps and bounds? In fact, this applies to so much of the world. Why is the medical care improved so much? Why is everything, technology across the board, what is the reason for that? The reason for it is cheap, affordable energy that you can power entire cities, your home. This is a concept historically that was totally foreign to people. Energy is beautiful. Energy is life. It's everything. And you notice that's what they're trying to reduce, your energy consumption. What's the other part? What was another part of it? The services, of course. The services. I know you're alive, and we'll just have to deal with that, you being alive, but how much food do you really need? How much health care do you actually need? Do you consume things? What services do you enjoy? You know, all that's jacking up your poison rating. If we could just pull back on some of those services, make your life a little worse, you'll be a little less poisonous. And of course, in the end, human beings themselves. Look, we just can't survive if all these people are alive. It'd be better if they weren't. Go ahead, Chris.
The services each person's using on average, the energy on average for each service, and the CO2 being put out per unit of energy. So let's look at each one of these and see how we can get this down to zero. Probably one of these numbers is going to have to get pretty near to zero. Now that's back from high school algebra. But let's take a look. First, we've got population. The world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%. But there we see an increase.
Now, that's interesting, isn't it? If we do a good job on vaccines, we can reduce the number of people? Huh. That's weird. He produces these vaccines. I thought vaccines were supposed to save people. Bill Gates just said, a producer of them, he just said it's going to reduce the number of people. Deeply evil and destructive. All right, let's move off of that. Let's do a couple emails. But first, we have to make fun of producer Corey. Before we do that, have you gotten into Hillsdale yet? Hillsdale College? Have you started enjoying free wisdom? Not very many things are free anymore. And I talked last night about how we all, myself included, we need to be learning, equipping ourselves with knowledge. as we dig in and fight back against the communist menace in this country. We have to know more than they do. Hillsdale College will give you that knowledge for free. More than 40 free online courses. As I have so many times before, I want to encourage you to do this with your family. Take an hour on a Saturday afternoon, a Sunday afternoon, and take a class. You'll find it enjoyable. On a road trip, you're road tripping. Go do some Hillsdale College. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse gets you at no cost. Learn these things. Capitalism, the Constitution, Rome, Athens, Sparta. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an amazing Tuesday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download it on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Halfway through next hour, our crappiest country in the world tournament begins, and we'll get to this. What's happening in India, these H-1B visas and more. We'll get to all that and so much more, but we just have to pause for a moment and dwell on something. First of all, Jewish producer Chris screwed up royally. And here's what he did. I still can't believe he did it, and to this day he is defending himself. We had, for coffee here in the studio, we had a Keurig. You know, everyone knows what a Keurig is, the little cups, the Keurig coffee machine. Our Keurig was definitely on its last legs. When you would put in a Keurig thing, instead of it kind of just running out, it would drip, 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 drip out. But it would drip out a cup of coffee, no question about it. Don't deny it, Chris. I got a cup of coffee from it. Jewish producer Chris, the coffee snob, Keurig's never been good enough for him. He's not like you. He's not like me. He's not going to stop by McDonald's and grab a cup of black coffee. It has to be freshly ground or whatever garbage he says. He decides he wants to get a nice coffee maker for the studio. He asked me and I said, yeah, go ahead, get something nice. In hindsight, this is what happens when you allow people to run wild without tightly controlling everything. This is why I don't allow phone calls. This is why I don't take many guests, because I have to be in control of everything or someone will ruin it. He orders the new coffee maker, right? Okay, no problem. I told him to order the new coffee maker. He throws out the old one. Do we currently have a coffee maker in the studio? Nope. There's no option for coffee. Not slow coffee, not bad coffee. If you want a cup of coffee here in the studio, well, too bad, so sad. You're out of luck. What, Chris? What? It did make coffee, Chris. It did. I'm sorry it wasn't up to your standards. The coffee was good enough. Either way, we are coffeeless. We've been coffeeless for a week. I show up today. I've got a little to-go cup from the house. But I had a lot going on today. I didn't get my customary two to three cups. I figure no big deal, because it's always in my mind, I'll grab a cup at the studio. I walk in, and as soon as I walk into our little kitchen, I see the empty space where our coffee maker used to be, and I'm already mad and yelling at Chris immediately. So I tell these two idiots, Chris and Corey, that we are ordering coffee because I need another cup of coffee. No big deal. We find this coffee company. There's one real close by to us. They're a Christian company. They're just wonderful people. We order coffee from there. We have to have it delivered. We're too busy. Producer Corey sends me his order, and I'm still a little jarred by the whole thing. Do you want to hear what Corey ordered from the coffee shop? Now, keep in mind, Corey's married to a woman. Even as a baby, he has a child, but I got this order and I don't know if he's working for the right show. This is Corey's order. He got, I'm reading it right here, a banana bread latte and an apple cider donut. I'm not making that up. A banana bread latte and an apple cider donut. What do I even do with that? Where do you where do you go from here? Now, you may find someone who will point out that I didn't necessarily get the manliest thing on the menu, but it wasn't that bad. It was a monkey chai, is what they called it. It's a oat-based banana milk. What, Chris? Let me finish before you make your faces. Oat-based banana milk combined with chai. So that's like a super manly thing to get. But it's not a banana bread latte. That is for sure. You should be embarrassed, sir.
Why are you gay?
Jesse, it's getting more apparent that Pam Bondi is more interested in how she looks and sounds and has no stomach for the rough parts of the job. Do you think that Donald J. Trump may be keeping her around so we can offer the job to DeSantis next year? His name is Rich. No, I don't. But I don't know that. Look, we can hope. The problem is time is short now. Remember, the attorney general has to be confirmed in the Senate, as we've discussed many times before. It's not as if Donald J. Trump can just pick anyone he wants. He can't go grab you. He can't go grab me. His first pick for AG was rejected immediately by the Senate, by the Republicans in the Senate. Can Ron DeSantis get through that confirmation process? I would assume he can. He's not somebody who comes with any baggage. He's been the best governor in the country forever. Love Heavy D. He's just awesome. Can he get through? Probably. But remember, the clock is ticking. Remember, the statute of limitations on some of these people we need to throw in prison, it's running out. We are at the point, at least temporarily, we are at the point where Pam Bondi's driving the car and we don't have time to pull over. Meaning, we need her to drive better. And that's asking a lot because she's a woman. Now, quit. But we need her to drive the car the way we need her to drive the car. And there's a chance she can't. Maybe she just doesn't have the chops for it. There's a chance she doesn't want to. As we've talked about, just because you're a freedom fighter who knows what needs to be done, just because you know we need government people in prison, just because you know this and you want this and you want that, that doesn't mean she does. From what I've seen so far, Pam Bondi enjoys being attorney general more than doing attorney general. That's what it looks like from the outside looking in. And I'm totally ready to be proven wrong when government people start getting thrown in prison. But as of right now, it looks like Pam Bondi loves being it instead of doing it. And that's a problem. Another problem is what's happening with India and immigration and the rest of the world. We'll talk about that next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.